I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, welcome to the Junk Time AFL Podcast. We're round 7, 2021. We're coming to you from Wayne Jackson Studios and Rod Carter Studios. My name is Michael Chamberlain, and joining me is a man who wants to change the markings on the ground. It's Adam Rosenbach.
G'day, Michael. I'm disappointed with the way that the round has played out. There were some cracking games. There were some big wins. There were some tight games. But it was all marred because of the way that the Geelong and Sydney game ended. Now, the AFL have come out and said that Jeremy Cameron should have been paid a mark, which wasn't paid. So there was a snap out of the air. I couldn't even tell you who kicked
That's
it.
That's a good question, because there were about 35 people around the ball, weren't there?
Yeah, and so it went about 20 metres. If you've watched the Fox Footy Lab, you know that it went 20 metres. Jeremy Cameron grabbed it out of the air. The umpire said, not 15, play on. It went out of bounds. Basically, he would have been having a shot. Still a tough shot, but he is a left footer.
And the shot would have been after the siren as well, right? Is that true?
That is a very good question without notice, because yes, it was followed by a ball in which ended up, so yeah, probably he would have taken his 30 seconds, wouldn't he?
So he probably wouldn't have been able to hook around on the left either. Well, that would have been play on.
No, but aren't you allowed, if you have a natural arc, we'll get back to the distancing in a sec, aren't you allowed if you have a natural, if you're allowed to kick around the corner after the siren, isn't that allowed? Didn't they change that rule so you could actually do that?
I feel like you're refreshing something in my head right now. Yeah, but yeah, I mean, he wouldn't have been able to run around 5 meters. It would have been limited then.
No, yeah, he would have been able to basically step like 3 paces away from the person on the mark and then kind of run towards him. And then, fucking hell, I would love to see that, because that would cause some serious controversy if you went one step too far.
Yeah, yeah, that'd be awesome. That'd be awesome. But also, like, the very tight boundary too at the SCG, as we know, so we wouldn't have had much room to move in either.
Well, remember last
Let's
year...
Let's just admit, Carlton, he was going to miss, okay?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
it all worked out properly in the end.
Fucking forget it. You would have lost by a point instead of 2 points. Get over yourselves. So I feel for the umpires, right? Because it's hard. Like,
Wait. Adam Rosenbach.
Fuck.
You feel bad for the umpires. After what? How many years have we been doing this pod? You feel empathy or sympathy for the umpires. That is an emotion without notice, okay?
I went to the same empathy training as MP Andrew Lamming.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
And I got shown that sometimes umpires have feelings and that sometimes you can feel bad towards these low dog fucks.
So all this time it's just been your ADHD talking.
Yes, that's right. I can't help it. All those photos that I've taken on my phone, it's because I've got ADHD.
Oh, dude.
So it's really hard. Like, if someone says to you, how far away do you reckon that is? And you go, oh, I reckon it's about 70 metres. How close do you reckon you actually are? Because it's really hard to gauge distances when you're on the moment. Like, when you're sitting in the stands and you go, oh, yeah, 50 metres, that doesn't look too bad.
Yeah.
But you know when you're at ground level and you're at the 50, you're like, fucking hell, this is a long way out from goals.
And then watch old games before they had the 50 metre arc.
Yeah.
And you go, I don't know if they've kicked that 35 metres or they've kicked that 55 metres.
It's really hard to tell. Mm. So to help these low dog motherfuckers out, what I am suggesting is that we have markings on the ground. Now, I know people are going to arc up and say, but it's not part of our great game, but we never used to have a centre square. We never used to have a 50-metre line. So I am proposing we bring in a line every centimetre. Now, it's going to be very fine. It's going to really muddy up the ground.
It's going to fucking test the merits of the ground staff as well.
Well, it's about time they had themselves tested. Because what do they do at the moment? You know what I love? You know what is one of the best things you can see is when you go to a local ground and, you know, when the boundary line just has a bit of a wonky
thing in it?
Like, the guy's just, he's like looked at his phone and he's gone in towards the centre for a bit and then come back out.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, that guy was
texting.
You've
got to go back.
Yeah.
You've got to redo that.
Yeah.
You can't fucking let that happen.
As they say on those commercials, don't text and mark grounds.
That's dangerous.
It's a scourge in our nation.
Well, balls are out of bounds when clearly they're not really out of bounds. It's just because you've got a shit. So I propose a line every centimetre. So they're going to be very, very fine. Mm-hmm. Probably a little hard to see on the broadcast. It might flare. It won't be a good look. But on the ground, if you're an umpire and you go, well, that went 14 metres 87, that is a that is not a mark. Play on.
Yeah,
and
sure.
The players go, fair enough. We saw how far it didn't travel.
Yeah, and people in the crowd are going, he bloody kicked it 1,550 centimetres, umpire. Come on.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, what could also help them out is if the ball, it lights up once it's travelled more than 15 metres. Now, I don't know what kind of technology we can get into, but if we can get bales that zing.
Yep, okay.
Why can't we have a zinger ball?
I actually feel like that's a technology that could be a possibility in the future. They'll be able to work out how far it's travelled.
Yeah, so if it leaves your boot.
And they'll be able to work out if it's been touched as well.
Oh, so if it touches human hands, so you can see like a hot spot on the ball.
Yeah, yeah, so in the future. So I think that will probably be after Elon Musk gets us to Mars. I think he'll then focus on sharing football.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the next thing. Like, well, I mean, they're putting microchips in mouthguards to be able to help out with concussion.
That's right. And also the government at the minute, they're putting microchips in the vaccine. I've been reading a lot of stuff online about that as well.
But that's to help with concussions as well. So if you like getting on the tram and someone bumps you and then they go, mate, you can't get on a tram for 12 days, you've been concussed. It's to help people out. So I propose centimetre lines, a ball that lights up. That way, if this Jeremy Cameron knows to go for the mark, because there's nothing worse than when a player, you know what, when you clearly hear the umpires say that it's play on, no 15, yep, or touched, play on,
yep,
and you know when a player just marks it, they pretend to mark it, and then there's a secondary ball up. I reckon, because you know when they've heard it.
Yeah.
I reckon you go, no, mate, that's holding the ball, because now you've taken possession and are given no indication that you want to get rid of it. Therefore, going back the other way.
I could make the argument. I imagine you can make the argument for Jeremy Cameron on Saturday night that A, he thought it was 15, and B, he maybe didn't hear the umpire because it would have been very loud and a lot of people going nuts at the end of the game.
Here's a solution for that. So
no crowd. You're at okay.
No. Well, partly, but okay, you're at home, right? You can listen in on the umpires because they're way fucking mic'd up now. We hear every whistle. We hear everything they say.
Yeah.
Why don't we have that blasting through the loudspeakers at the ground?
Oh, okay. Yeah, that'd be handy. That'd be handy.
So when you hear touch, play on, everyone hears it. Everyone who lives near the ground hears it. Everyone driving past is like, fuck, touch, play on. And then they hear it on their radios.
And then also everything we yell at the umpires, that should also be amplified into the ground.
So it goes two ways.
Yeah, yeah. It's not a one-way street, mate. They've got to earn their living.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So we organise for like one person or maybe a couple of people to have a microphone.
How good. You win. You win the abuser of the week. So they sit you in a box. You're on the wing. You're in a really good posse. And they give you the mic. And they're like, mate, you've got everyone. You get four people per game. So you get one per quarter.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, go spread the love.
And they give you a microphone and they go, mate, It's up to you. Don't choke here, champ. You've got your fucking 25, 30 minutes. Go your hardest. And it's going to be a bit hard in the first quarter because I reckon you've got to know your umpires and have hatred stored up.
And you've got to learn a pattern of behaviour too. Like they're not always cheating low dogs in the first quarter apart from Darren Goldspink in the 2001 prelim against Essendon. But apart from that, I've let it go. I've let it go.
No, you've moved on.
I haven't prank called his news agency in weeks.
But how good would that be if you had an absolute chance and then everyone in the crowd's looking at you going, fuck, that was good, mate.
And also, you know, a thing I like, you know, sometimes there'll be a microphone around and people just give you a bit of a warning, like, oh, that's a hot mic. As in, like,
yes,
don't pay
don't
out.
Say anything.
Don't say anything bad about the person that you write for because they'll hear it. But then I think the idea of this one in the box when they got the mic, like, they go, just to let you know, this is a hot mic. It will hear everything you say, and that's the entire point.
And you go your hardest. And also, if you don't go hard enough, you're like, oh, that was a good decision. Bang, out of the box, substitute.
Subbed out, yeah, absolutely. We can't have that. We can't have anyone say anything positive.
No, that's not what this game's about, mate.
Hey, a few junk time ideas out there for the AFL, if you want to get them. So we've got the ball, we've got the hot mic, we've got everything going on, and the lines on the ground. So, I mean, fuck me up, like, when are they going to take one of our ideas?
It's got to be coming. I mean, you know, they took our AFL X idea and then they just fucking dropped it after 2 years. It's like, come on, fellas.
Hey, you want to talk about Sydney Comedy Festival shows, Adam? They're getting near. So Thursday the 13th of May. Yeah, and the 14th, yep. Friday the 14th at the Factory Theatre in Marrickville. Tickets can be found at sydneycomedyfest.com.au. So 13th and 14th of May at 7 p.m. At the Factory Theatre, which is going to be coming.
And
sick.
This is a show that you've brought up from Melbourne, so it's red hot. It's been running. It's ready to go.
It's actually Chango a good point. Actually, that's a really good point. Actually, I have done it, you know, 20-odd times. So yeah, so it's fucking cooking with gas, mate. Cooking with gas.
Oh mate, and the people you take down, like fucking hell, mate. You know, Jetstar. I'm surprised they haven't just given up after the fucking tearing that you rip in. Oh mate, you tear them apart.
That is made up, by the way, folks. That is made up. Yeah,
your takedown of ScoMo is,
well, I do mention him because obviously
when you say that Tony Abbott ate an onion and that Peter Dutton looks like a potato, okay. I mean the crowd roared. Michael,
did you know that dogs and cats are very different?
Save it for the show.
Hey, the ladder, Adam. We got a thing that we may not have seen for a long time after seven rounds, but the D's are on top.
So I was I found out during the week. So Melbourne, first time they'd gone 6-0 was since 1965. Mm-hmm. And did you know in that year they went 6-0? They'd won the flag the previous year. They missed the finals and sacked the coach.
They sacked the coach and then they got him back.
How's that for a fuck up? Like, you're the premiership team, you're 6-0. How far ahead of themselves did the 1965 Melbourne team get?
I feel like they might have sacked Norm Smith during the season as well.
I believe they did.
Yeah. And so then I think they had an interim coach and then I think got Norm back for the next year, I believe.
So it
might be
that.
A fact without notice.
Imagine that, Dusty going up there going, I don't want this medal. The guy couldn't even fucking coach. And so he got sacked mid-season. This is embarrassing. I don't want this. Why don't you just give me the fucking Mark Neild Award?
So they won 5 out of 7 and then they won 64. So they won 6. That sounds about right. And then, you have half a bad year and they go, get out of here. But I think also, I have a feeling that maybe the board felt that Norm Smith was getting a bit too much power. And I feel like there was some kind of disagreement with the board and he kind of quit. I feel like he might have quit on principle, you know, that kind of thing. You know, principle, there's a quote actually. It's kind of like, you know, there's some quote from him about integrity or something. Yeah. So I think he might have more walked than got
the
knife. Is
that right?
Yeah.
That's why you want to win a Norm Smith, for the integrity of it all.
Mm. But yeah, no, it's amazing. And also Doggies second. And then Port 3, and they all seem to be like the kind of the top tier of the teams. Like, well, obviously they're on top of the ladder, but like they all seem like at this stage, all the dudes who could have a good crack at getting deep into September.
You would have thought so. Just a quick question without notice: are Port Adelaide flat track bullies?
Ooh,
Michael,
I thought you were going to ask: are they real and deal? That's a very good question. I mean, Port's an interesting one by the fact, you know, at the, 2014, they had the world at their feet. And you thought they're going to, and then after that, made finals maybe a couple of times since then?
I reckon maybe once.
Port fans might get angry about that. But that 2014 period, like you're thinking like, you know, it's all going to happen for them. And so now we're, 7 years on from there. So, you'd want to get something out of them, like, before they have to kind of, you know, as teams do, kind of bottom out and have to kind of go back up again.
But they are an exciting team to watch. Mm. And I think every time one team has one bad week, we go...
Oh, dude, for sure. For sure. I mean, like, on Monday, Brad Heal was meant to be traded. And now he's, like, awesome. Like, they... I might get to him, but I might jump in now quickly with... I haven't watched a great deal of AFL 360 this year. And I watched about 3 episodes, I think, this week. And I was amazed at how much time they spent on the Buckley thing. I reckon they did 10 odd minutes each day about Nathan Buckley. And I was like, I genuinely am confused by this whole thing. You can do a grand final, you can do a prelim, you can do a one win in a finals. And now people are calling for your head. And I know there's the trading disaster of last summer. But also, I was talking about this with a friend as well, and you're not that friend. But do you think the coach would actually know about the contracts? Like, would he know what money they have, how the salary cap is going? Like, do you think they would know that kind of detail?
Excellent question without notice.
I'd be really curious to ask the coach.
I would say yes, they would have some idea. Next time we get a coach on the show, I reckon we put it to them. Jot that down somewhere. Junk Timers, remind us when you see us out.
But surely Buckley's not in the living room at home kind of doing the stats going, okay, we've got, you know, $7.8 million for this year and we've got to put that up to $8.1 next year and we've got a five-year contract. Like,
I don't think he would know the ins and outs, but I'm sure he would be aware of how much a player would be getting, wouldn't he?
I don't know. And he would know that we have Treloar for 5 years or whatever. Like, he'd know that. But, like, but how that contract fits in with the rest of the squad.
Yeah, I suppose coaches would always say we don't coach, you know, we don't pick a side based on the contract. So you're just going as good as you are. But if you know that a player is about to leave, remember Geelong. No, Carlton stopped playing Lockie Henderson when he said, I want out of the club. I want to go to Geelong.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And they went, well, all right, well, go fuck yourself. So they refused to play him. So if he knows that, say, someone's out of contract and is maybe not going to be there next year, would he play a kid in front of that person?
I reckon they would. Yeah, they have done that. There were a few players back in the day, like when the Suns came in, weren't they, who said, we're going to go to the Suns, and they were like, okay, you can go home. There's the Adelaide player. I can't remember who, but I can picture him. Anyway.
Yeah, who went to the Suns.
Yeah.
Or did they do that with Phil Davis when he said, I'm going to the Giants?
That's a really good question. When Jack Gunston went to Hawthorn, he won, like, best
That's right.
first-year player or something, and they
I think so.
Took the trophy back.
Yeah. They weren't happy with him. But I suppose the thing about Buckley is, and, you know, people want to know about Collingwood because Collingwood fans want to know what's going on. Mm. And anyone who doesn't barrack for Collingwood fucking is really reveling in
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, they're loving the turmoil, yeah.
I thought North Melbourne were really good yesterday. They were in the game for a long period of time. Melbourne were always going to overrun them, but they were thereabouts for three quarters. So they've got Collingwood this week. There's a huge chance that they could, you know, pinch. They've got to pinch a game at some stage, you'd think.
And there'll be massive. I mean, it'll be, again, massive news if they do lose by the fact that I think they're sitting at 17th at the minute, I think.
Yes, that's correct.
And then also on top of that, if you think about it, I believe, so what, Bucks came in at the end of a, started in 2012.
Yep.
And if I remember correctly, Bomber Thompson was the coach who had gone the longest without winning a flag. So he went from 2000 to 07 before he finally won a flag. And so I think Bucks would be beating that by now if he's gone from 2012 to 2021 without winning a flag. So you get into kind of these weird areas now as well.
Yeah, he would be. How long has Ken Hinckley been coaching for? 8, 9 years? So he would have... I mean, Bucks has obviously got him covered now.
Yeah, I feel like Ken Hinckley came in 2014, but it could have been 2013. And then also yeah. Dimmer, I think, went to the Tigers, I think at 2010.
That's
and then,
correct,
so
yeah.
What he went then 7 odd years before he actually won a flag. Yeah, 7, 8, yeah. Interesting.
It's all happening.
Interesting little facts about coaching right there.
Yeah. So we've got the showdown this week, which obviously Port Adelaide were hoping to wear the prison bar jumper, which yep. is a much better looking jumper than their current. I think their current jumper is great, but the prison bar one is a fucking cracker.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Yeah. I think the rule of jumpers is that they need to be able to be drawn by a child very easily.
Great.
Yeah, I think that's very great. And like when I get children over here, I say, draw the fucking Port Adelaide jumper. But no, I think that's
you could tell the skill of a child. Like if they could do the old Fitzroy Football Club one freehand, you'd go very, and I don't mean special child, I mean smart, special child.
Yep, sure. Yeah, no, dig that hole and crawl your way out of it. So it kicked off. It's been a week of that, really.
It has been great.
Okay, so try to recap. So Port want to wear the prison bar jumper.
Yep.
Collingwood won't let them wear the prison bar jumper, which they got to wear last year, I believe, but that was not in front of their crowd, and they wanted to do it for their 150th anniversary. So they want to wear it for showdowns.
Yes.
But the deal they have with Collingwood and the AFL, I suppose, doesn't allow them to. And then there's an agreement from 2007 saying that they could wear the prison bar jumper in a heritage round.
Yes.
But then heritage round stopped. And yes. So therefore there was no more heritage in the Australian rules game.
I don't remember anything.
And then
2019.
That agreement was signed by Eddie and by a few other people.
Yes.
And then they got brought up on Footy Classified the other day on Monday night when Eddie was there.
Wednesday's Eddie, mate.
Wednesday night. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry.
Wednesday is the great footy classified where they talk about all the stuff that hasn't been spoken about on the Monday night or the Tuesday night or the Sunday night.
And they have Eddie with Kane Corns and...
Ross Lyon.
I think it's fair to say Eddie lost his fucking shit.
Did he what?
He fucking went mental.
And you know what I loved about it though, because in amongst all that, Eddie gave away. So they said, "You guys can wear it in heritage rounds. That's fine." And he said, "But we had been told that heritage round is just about to finish." So basically, he had insider knowledge.
Yeah, yeah. So he signed the contract.
He looked like he really, you know, what a great man, so magnanimous. Oh yeah, no, I'll sign it. You guys can wear it heritage.
More than happy, mate. More than happy. Yeah. You know, I'm just doing a good deed. It's good for the game. Good for the game.
In perpetuity. Go for it.
I give you a guarantee. Every heritage round from now on, you're allowed to wear that jumper.
Go for it, mate. In fact, I'll fucking print them up for you and I'll bring them over. That's how much I love Port Adelaide and the Port Adelaide Magpies.
Swear on my kids. I mean, I can't wait for another 20 years of seeing you wear the jumper in Heritage Round.
Where do I sign? Let me know. I'm a good bloke.
I'm going to sign it twice. I like this so much, I'm going to sign it twice. So Eddie cracked it. And also, let's all remind the Junk Timers, Eddie's a supporter, has no control at the club anymore. So he knew... Koshy said he'd be happy to just kind of wear it, just have the club wear it. But they said AFL said they would dock points if they did wear it. And then Koshy compared Eddie to Donald Trump.
Yes. Oh, which bit? I mean, how dare he? You know, you give me one thing that they've done that's similar to each other. Yeah, I just can't. I think Koshy's lost his fucking mind.
He's out of line, mate. You've been getting up too early for too long.
Yeah, it's done his head in.
Mate, the cash cow, you're freaking out. It's not a real cow. Yeah. It's a man in a suit.
Whoa. What?
Oh, woman.
you know what stopped them in their tracks, though? It was when the AFL, because, you know, you go fine, you go, oh, I reckon we could handle that. But when they go, we're going to dock your points, you're like, ah, fuck, we need those.
Yeah, sure. And I actually reckon, I would be curious in the AFL rulebook, if that was actually a thing, or if that's just a rule they're making up now. Like, I'd be curious if you went through the actual rule book. I feel like you can get reported if you're not wearing the correct uniform, like an individual player.
Yeah, okay.
But no, I don't think they've gone that far by the fact they go, I mean, you look back at the rules of, you know, pre-away jumpers and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. I think the main thing that you would get fined for back in the day was the away and the home shorts. So because it was always one team would have white and one team would have dark. And so if there was a fuck up where you got it wrong, particularly if you were playing out at Waverley or your non-home ground, you'd be like, fuck, was this not our home game?
Yeah,
and
sure.
Wearing the wrong coloured shorts.
Mm-hmm. I actually, in a way, I kind of think it's been a 20-something year journey of this prison bar jumper. And in a way, I do kind of think that it is Collingwood's jumper by the fact... calm down, Port fans. It's Collingwood is initially in the VFL / AFL first with the black and white stripes. Yes. And then Port does want to play with it. And obviously, not every game or whatever. I do have a soft spot for Collingwood's argument, but I also do love watching Eddie get really angry for 5 minutes on a Wednesday night.
Mate, how great was it? How great was it when he basically told Caden Corns to pipe down? And it was fucking unbelievable.
And he said, Port was rats. They kind of, you know, kind of just ran out of the SANFL.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, mate, you know the good thing about it? He's really rational when he gets into these decisions. He doesn't go off half-cocked.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm sure Eddie, when Port paid the license money, to come into the comp, he said, no, I'm doing this with the SANFL. Keep that cash. I am not taking it. No. Yeah.
You know what would be the ultimate troll is if the Crows ran out in the Port Adelaide prison bar jumper and just went, fuck, mate, we're wearing it. They never threatened us. And just get in their kitchens and be like, but that would be like, that would shut them down.
And I do love the idea as well. Like, I mean, you know, we talk about, you know, the... Port fans is, you know, a bit of a joke, you know, no teeth, being in jail and stuff like that. But it's very funny how it's like colloquially known as the prison bar jumper. And it's like,
you're not helping yourself.
Truly suggesting that this thing represents prison. It's like, it'd be like,
Their alternative jumper is the meth pipe jumper.
Well, that's the thing. It'd be like, you know, old jokes of like, you know, Melbourne having like, you know, the Volvo jumper. And, you know, we want to wear the Volvo jumper. Every opening of the ski season. Oh, ski
if
joke,
we can't
sorry.
Wear our negative gearing shorts.
Yeah.
we are leaving the AFL, I tell you. Well, we had on the front bar on Thursday night, we had Port Adelaide royalty. Greg and Erin Phillips. Erin obviously plays for Adelaide, but she grew up a Port fan. And he suggested that they should do the prison bar jumper, but with teal instead of white.
Okay. Yep. Okay. Gotcha.
So that way you're combining the new and the old, and therefore it's not really the Collingwood jumper. It's just, you know, it's teal stripes.
Do you think actually ever you ever heard the word teal out loud until Port came into the competition? I don't think I really had much teal in my life.
No,
I'd
seen Aqua.
Yeah,
I was aware of Aqua because I'm unfortunately a Miami Dolphins fan and they are Aqua. But teal, nah, not until Port Adelaide came along and fucking, you know what, they owned it.
They like changed the game, didn't they?
Oh, they did, mate. Now, everyone's just talking, houses are teal, I wear teal all the time. I don't even know why, and it's like, because I want to be like Port Adelaide.
You can't me, I bleed teal, mate. I bleed teal.
Paddy McCartan's he's hurt himself. He was he's obviously playing in the VFL and he wants to get a lifeline back into the AFL. Yeah. And so his brother plays for Sydney, so he was hoping to get back into it. But he's done himself a mischief, Michael. He's gone fucking wooshka in the VFL.
He has hurt himself by the fact he hurt his fucking knuckles on his left hand. By the fact, who's the player he whacked? Sorry, question without notice.
Aaron Black, I believe.
Yeah,
former North Melbourne player and was playing for Geelong's VFL team.
So there's a bit of footage you can find online. Not of McCartan. It's just some really good stuff going around right now. But the, Aaron kind of, I suppose, puts his hand out to kind of, you know, check where McCartan is, and McCartan kind of whacks it down with a big left arm, and then he almost kind of swings around and he smashes him in the jaw. And the thing I liked about, well, sorry, I didn't like it. Sorry, you don't see this very often though, Adam. In that it was a very slow collapse. It was almost like it hit me, and now I feel it, and now I'm just going to crumble to the ground. It was a very different one than we normally get.
Yeah,
it wasn't like
KO.
When Brett Staker just went down. Mate, he barely touched you.
Yeah.
But this one was like proper.
Yeah, this is like punch, and then the only thing keeping him up was just the perfect balance he had, and then he got kind of rocked and went back to one knee. And so McCartan, who really needs to be playing well to get that mid-season lifeline, will possibly... How many weeks do you reckon he'll get? I'm saying eight.
I think about eight or so. Yeah, Aaron had a swollen jaw, so I don't think there was any break or anything like that. And I actually couldn't even tell you if he had a concussion. I don't think he might have had a concussion.
No, I think he played out the game.
Yeah, okay. But I'm on to you, McCartan. I'm on to you.
Oh, yeah?
I know your plan. Okay, so you've had a lot of concussions in life, okay? McCartan's plan is to spread out the concussions so every player has multiple concussions, and therefore he's on an even playing field.
Yeah, brings everyone down to his level.
I'm on to you, Paddy.
Yeah, so he and other AFL players can all go to the supermarket together and not remember why they're there.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, they can all be affected by bright light. That's Paddy's plan. That's Paddy's plan.
He's playing the long game, just one player at a time.
And you know what I heard as well? That he invested in football helmets, a company, football helmets.
Is that right?
I'm on to you, Paddy. I know what you're up to.
You get it. You know what he owns?
Chris sales in helmets.
He owns a mouthguard business with microchips.
No way. No way. Come on, Paddy.
That's the McCartan legacy, mate.
Dude, we know what you're up to,
billionaire.
A bit of sad news for you, Adam.
It's devastating, mate. I don't know how Carlton can go on.
And a bit of sad news to the Junk Time AFL podcast, too, by the fact that we were pretty happy when we coined the moniker of this next man. But Matt LeBlanc is going to be leaving the Carlton presidency.
Oh, and the legacy he leaves. Remember, everyone remembers some of Matt LeBlanc's greatest speeches, that time when he said that thing, probably.
He had to show up at Mick Malthouse's press conference.
Yep.
Then he had to show up at Brendan Bolton's press conference.
Yep. Then he showed up at Sauce's press conference. He has sacked some of the greats of the AFL-VFL world.
I have a feeling, and I actually only got reminded of this by mate recently, I've got a feeling that I may have met Matt LeBlanc. Now, you have.
I definitely have.
You have, yeah. But I've got a mate who worked with him. Probably 10 bit more years ago.
Yeah.
And he had a 30th. And a friend told me that Matt LeBlanc was there. And it wasn't a huge crowd. Like, maybe, like, it was like he had to kind of... It was, like, a bit in the country, I suppose.
Yeah.
A couple of hours in the country. And I think... I would imagine that I would have met Matt LeBlanc, like...
Oh, there you go.
10-something years ago. Yeah. And you can tell he's charismatic because I have no memory of it whatsoever.
So I met him because I did a gig at the Montmorency Football Club, and he must have an association with that. So they have like a lunch once a year on a Friday arvo, like a business lunch for all the sponsors and stuff for the club.
And he did stand up there.
Yeah,
a bit Matt LeBlanc of tiger gear, you know, a bit of, you know, men and women are different, you know, a bit of
they are different.
Some of the good stuff. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, some of my greats. What's up with cab drivers? All that sort of shit. It's really fun sort of stuff. And so Matt was there and I said g'day and stuff. And then I reckon I ran into him about a year after that at a Carlton function that I was
You were doing Carltonian shit, yeah.
Carltonians, yeah. And he came over and he could see... He came over with like the... I think he knew me but didn't know how.
Yeah,
and
sure.
It was kind of like he did the big, oh, great to see you. And I was like, you can't remember. You can't remember one of my fucking cracking jokes in that half hour.
They were cracking jokes, yeah. I mean, you know, why do they put a little whistle on a life vest? You know, like as if who's going to hear, you know?
Why don't they make the whole plane out of the
Why don't they?
Recorder?
I mean, that's a very good point. You bring that up. Yeah. And I know you mop.
I ask the hard questions when I'm on stage. So Matt LeBlanc is no longer, and he's been taken over by a man whose surname is Sayers, and I can't remember his first name.
Yeah, so I believe actually we're recording this on the Monday night, Eastern Standard Time. And yeah. I think he's going to be confirmed at a meeting today, like tonight.
Ratified,
yeah, yeah. So Matt LeBlanc is like literally out, like Wednesday announcement. I'm gone. I'm not waiting around to the end of the year.
No, he is waiting around. Aren't they just doing this smooth transition?
He's
going to be there for the year. Well, I think when I step down, he takes over.
Okay, gotcha. I feel like maybe then might be a bit different because, you know, boards obviously have like different rules and stuff. But he was I think he was like the president-elect, I suppose. And so maybe it's like confirming him. And then, and then maybe, Matt Block, you know, goes out as he will this year, walking off the ground.
Yeah.
Last day of September, holding the Premiership Cup aloft, saying, "Boys, we got there."
It would just be great that he's got another 4 months to just finish that speaking tour, you know. And people can go knowing that it's going to be the last time they'll hear Matt LeBlanc speak. I think it'd be huge.
Good news today for Richmond fans.
Oh, what have we got?
Dusty came back.
He did.
So last week he went to New Zealand to go and see Shane, aka Dad. And I did find it interesting actually because they had footage of Dusty kind of on the news, like you know, landing back.
Yep.
And I did find it interesting. He had a very large suitcase, which I reckon you could hold about 95, 100 kilos in there. And I'm thinking, has they smuggled Shane back into the country?
Oh, you think he's brought his dad back?
Do you think how closely are they going to check the bags too? Also, you know, can you smuggle a human into the country? And also, like, I mean, Dusty too. Like, yes. They'd be like, oh, mate, you know, first class, you know,
yep.
You know, come on through, mate. You know, we know who you are. We can see the neck tats. We know who you are. Yeah. We can see your name. It's written all over your arm and your chest and your neck. Yep. But I feel like he's brought back maybe it's just a very large suitcase. Okay, I'm just saying. Maybe Shane went into storage for 4 hours with a flight back, and maybe could have, you know, maybe strolling around Richmond right now.
Yeah, so the Border Force people going, you haven't ticked Dad. You haven't ticked Dad on the little form here. Is that should you? He goes, oh yeah, no, I'm not carrying any dads at all. I haven't been outside of Auckland basically. I've just been hanging there.
Is that where he goes, Auckland, to see Shane?
Excellent question without notice. I do not know the whereabouts of Shane, and I am going to keep it that way.
And I feel like there are times that Shane's been interviewed by the police, and he says, I do not know the whereabouts of... it's always good to make fun of bikies.
won't come back to haunt us at all.
Hey, don't forget my Sydney Comedy Festival show. It's going to be on Thursday, May 13, Friday, May 14, 7 p.m. at the Factory Theatre in Marrickville. You can go to sydneycomedyfest.com.au to get tickets. It's going to be fucking cracker, mate. It's going to be fucking cracker.
How many songs do you do in this one?
I do clean versions of Kevin Bloody Wilson songs, okay? Because I don't like that fruity. I don't like that fruity talk.
Yeah,
I think if it does appeal, I think I did a search of the script recently. It was, I think I said the word fuckwit 37 times, but it's in context. It's in context.
Mate, always. They in all. Context. They all. I know you.
It's all within like a 4 minute chunk, but it's good stuff. Hey, football in real life from Jonathan. While walking through Barangaroo on Saturday lunchtime on my way to a late lunch at the Crown. Whoa, I'm doing very well for myself.
Barangaroo, that's up your neck of the woods, isn't it? Near Rod Carter Studio.
No, that's near Darling Harbour. Kind of, that's an old neck of the woods of mine. Actually, I think the last time I kind of walked past that area, the construction site was still going. So that was a number of years ago now. Okay. And then Crown in Sydney, they went, we've built this big building, but you know what we forgot to get was a gaming license.
Oh, no.
Oh, we kind of fucked that up. Yeah. I noticed a good-looking middle-aged man. Oh, I mean, this is clearly a story about me. Mm-hmm. Carrying what looked like a marketing pull-up in one hand, a sports bag in the other, and a very big backpack over both shoulders. Looking like he was on the way to a multi-level marketing convention, he strode through the restaurant clientele and groups of 20-somethings waiting to board Saturday afternoon Harbour Cruise party boats.
Oh, party boat. Have a good party boat.
Fucking party boat. That's unbelievable. After a double take and a glimpse at the stylized facial hair and Geelong logo on the enormous backpack, I realised it was none other than Geelong coach Chris Scott.
Well, there you go.
So let me think, they played Saturday, yeah. So he's wandering through.
They played Saturday night, so he's just going for a wander around, clearing his head, thinking, how am I going to, who's going to shut down James Rowbottom? What am I going
to
do?
I'm trying to think, actually. I wonder where they would stay when they choose to stay in Sydney. Just cut you off very quickly, which I've been wanting to say for 8 years.
Never fucking
So, Darling Harbour, Barangaroo area, it's not like next door to the SCG. Like it's a bit of a hike, but like nothing ridiculous. But maybe they're in there. But it seems like he's like ready for game day, like in the gear and stuff. Or maybe he's going into a hotel. Well, they would have come the night before, surely. I'm just saying words that loud now, really, aren't I?
So I went and saw Carlton v Sydney in 2013. Mm-hmm. I flew up there with a friend of the show, Dave Hughes. We went to watch the Blue Baggers and we stayed at the Intercontinental in Sydney, and that's where the Blue Baggers were staying. So I'm going to assume that that's probably the AFL-approved hotel.
Yeah, okay, gotcha.
In the city.
I'm failing to kind of work out where the Intercontinental is, but...
George Street, that rings a bell.
Yeah, gotcha. So, continuing, clearly a doubling is Kitman for the day. That's so close to Catman. That'd be so cool. Actually, if Chris Scott went, well, there's no more Catman. So I've got to take up the job.
You know what'd be great is if at halftime they're down, three-quarter time they're struggling. He comes out, so he disappears 5 minutes before the three-quarter time siren, and then comes out as Catman. And you see him, you see Catman just giving this fucking spray, like really just like slashing at players' faces and stuff.
Yeah, he's marking his territory, he's doing everything.
Yeah, shits in a kitty litter box, throws it over them, and you go, fucking hell, he has really. And then they come home and storm home for a win. I think that'd be good.
Clearly, Dublin is Kitman for the day. He was completely ignored by the Sydney siders, and as a West Coast supporter, I was in no position to give him any shit. Oh, I reckon he would have had a chat.
Absolutely, if he's as friendly as his brother.
Good point, actually,
Which, judging by the press conferences he does, he's not.
Ha. Hey, are we going to hit the road? Cheap plug, don't forget my Sydney Comedy Festival shows. We're going to hit the road. We are JunkTimeAfflePod at Gmail, Twitter, Facebook, and the gram. Go.
Go Baggers.
Football. Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.